We've been talking about a little mini series here on the amazing things that Jesus said to us. Last week, we talked about the words that he said. He said, if any of you hunger or thirst, to come to me. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the stuff out there. Don't go to junk food, but come to me, the bread of life, and I'll fill you up. I'll change your life. I will satisfy your thirst. So this week, I want to talk about this word, and he says this, if you love me. If you love me. Let's stand and read a portion of our scripture this morning that we're going to go through. It's found in John chapter 14, 12 through 16. Read it aloud with me if you wouldn't mind. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. You may be seated. Thank you so much. We're going to go through this section in John chapter 14, and let me give you a little bit of context as we unpack this scripture here. The context here is we're at the Last Supper. This is the last words that Jesus is going to speak to his disciples. He's at the Last Supper. They're going to have the feast. He's going to wash their feet. And shortly, they're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's going to be betrayed. And the next morning, he's going to die. There's a lengthy discussion here. There's multiple chapters here on this very last discourse during the Last Supper. And a lot of the disciples, I don't know if they had clued in yet. I don't think they had. This was the last time we're going to gather here. I don't think they understood all that until after it all unfolded. But here they are, and they all start asking questions. Peter asked Jesus a question. Then Thomas asked Jesus a question. Then Philip asked Jesus a question, and he asks, show us the Father. And Jesus tells them, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he begins to elaborate. He starts to elaborate, and as he elaborates, he makes these comments here that we found in verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, he's talking about faith, believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, I'm sure they were sitting there thinking, oh, what did you do? Well, you raised people from the dead, you healed people, you caused people who were lame to walk, the blind to see. My gosh, you did so many things. And Jesus is saying here, he's saying, hey, the things that I did, oh, you're going to do too. As a matter of fact, you're going to do greater things than what I did. Whoa, you're kidding us. You're going to do greater things? And I believe that this scripture is not just for them back then. I think it applies to us today. And these, that it says, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. And when we went to the Father, we realized that he sent his Holy Spirit. That was the reason he was going, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many have used that verse before? If I ask anything in God's name, he will do it. I want a trike. I want a car. I want a this. I want a wife. I want a this. I want this. I want... And in Jesus' name, it happens, right? I want to talk for just a moment here. I'm going to take a little a side road here. But he's talking about prayer here. And he's going to give us three conditions to meet in prayer in this particular passage right here. But I was reading a commentary, and he said, hey... A person said, I've seen this plaque on people's walls, and it said this, why pray when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry? And well, the whole idea is we're supposed to pray so we don't worry. But it seems like in our nation, we worry quite a bit, don't we? To look at your life, don't you worry about things? It's amazing how many things that we kind of let get to us, and we have ulcers, and we have all sorts of problems with our body because of some of the worries and some of the loads that we take. And Jesus says, hey, you're not supposed to worry. You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to what? Take it to him in prayer. Remember the song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we did not carry everything to God in prayer." So he's talking to, as he starts here, these three conditions to be met in prayer. Number one, we must pray in faith. He says, "He who believes in me." He who believes in me. Therefore, we have to have faith. Faith to see greater things happen in our life. Faith to see God work in us great things and great wonders. Now, not because we're going to do greater things. You understand that when he says we're going to do greater things, it's not like Phil Vance does greater things than Jesus Christ did. No way. Nobody here doing greater works than Jesus Christ. However, Jesus Christ is topping himself in you. Jesus Christ in you is doing greater works. It's not you who's doing the greater works. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Christ that's in us that's doing the greater works or that wants to do the greater works. And a lot of times we just cop out, chicken out. We just drop out. We just, I'm afraid to really believe for that. I'm afraid to really pray for that. I'm afraid because it just seems like it would be way up there. But God wants to do some amazing things. He wants to do them, and he wants to do them in you, but we must, first of all, pray in faith. Secondly, we must pray in Christ's name. Now, this is an interesting aspect. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Now, you have to understand that praying, blah, 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 your prayer, and then going, in Jesus' name, like it's some sort of a stamp, good seal of approval that puts it on there, and all of a sudden, let it be written, let it be done, all of a sudden, because I said in Jesus' name, boom, it happens. Because hocus pocus, dominocus, it's a magical phrase that when you say it at the end of anything, boom, God shows up and makes it all happen. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean if you pray it in his name, oh, then God will do it. It doesn't mean, oh, well, his authority, so he's got the authority. I know who's got the bank account, so God will do it. Here's what it means to pray in his name. It's not a magical formula that we automatically attach to our prayers, guaranteeing that God will answer. You see, to ask anything of the Father in the name of Jesus means that we ask what Jesus would ask for. We would ask for what Jesus would ask for. What would please him? What would bring him glory by furthering his work? The idea of praying in his name is praying in his will, in his delight, in his idea of what he wants to see happen. Thy kingdom come, not my will be done, as in me, but in God's will. The whole idea of what we're down here for is to allow God's will to be performed throughout this earth, in your life and in everything else. So when we're praying in the will of Jesus Christ, in the will of Father God, in his design, in his idea, in what he wants to accomplish, not, I just need a red bike. Now, I think that sometimes God likes giving you a red bike, okay? He's a good, you know why I know? Because I'm a grandfather, and I like to just give presents to all those grandkids. The kids are all mad now because I'm giving all the presents to the grandkids. I just love to do it. I just love to give it. It's just in his heart. You need a bike? I'm looking for bikes. You need a this? I'm looking for that. I have that desire in my heart. It's fun to do. For God, it's fun to give you the red bike. It's fun to give you those things that you think like, well, they're really trivial. They don't really make heads or tails of nothing. I mean, it's like if I have a bike or not have a bike, I mean, does that mean I'm better off than anybody? I mean, it doesn't do anything, right? But we have those things that we kind of pray for, and we're, I'm not saying quit praying for those, all right? But I am saying this, that when we attach in the name of Jesus Christ, when you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, what you're saying is, I know that what I'm praying right now aligns 100% with what your will is, and therefore, Lord, I want to see it happen because I know it's what you want to happen. Make sense? Make sense? Likewise, anything, he says, and if you ask anything in my name, God is not giving us carte blanche. In my name is the controlling element. To know God's name means to know his nature, what he is and what he wants to do. God answers prayer in order to honor his name. Therefore, prayer must be in his will. We do it for him. We pray for his will to be done. And a request that does not glorify God's name should not be asked in his name. Because the whole idea of saying it is, I know this will glorify you, Lord. This is what you want. This is what you want. And again, pray for the red bike. Pray for the whatever, those things. Because we all are going to. Because he wants to know us. Like, I want to know my grandkids. What are you thinking about? What do you want? But remember that he's after getting his will performed on this earth. Our time is short. Who knows when the end will be? And I know he has a heart for a world that their lives might be changed, that they might come to know him in a personal and intimate way. And we have a part to play in that. So, Lord, we're praying in your name that greater things would happen in our walk, not so that we can go, wow, aren't we cool? So that we can say, God, your will is coming to this earth, and we're a part of bringing it here. Thirdly, we must pray in loving obedience. And let me get to this third part. The third part is found in verse 15. If you love me, our main text today, if you love me, what does it say here? Say it with me. Keep my commandments. You know that in John, if you love, the word love is used 56 times in the Gospel of John. 56 times he's going to say, talk about love. And John here is saying, from Jesus' point of view, what Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when we think about commandments, when God was on the on Mount Sinai and he was yelling out the commandments, something like this:
Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not have any fun.
Okay. I really wish that would have been there when I was raising my kids. That would have been a blast. That would have been so much fun to have reverb as you're telling your kids, you will not. Wow, Dad sounds like God. Do you understand that when he says,
keep my commandments?
When he was saying that, he wasn't trying to see if he could rob you of every joy you would have in life. He wasn't doing it because he was a big meanie. When he says, if you love me, keep these things that you hate. Keep these things that are hard, that are gruesome, that you just hate them. That's not what he's saying. The commandments are words to live your life by to make it good and not regrettable. We have that? Commandments. Words to live your life by to make it good and not regrettable. You have to understand, when God said, keep my commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments, he was doing it for your good. He was doing it for your good. Keep my commandments. These are the principles to live by, so that when you get done with your life, you're going, yay, 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 I had a great life. I ran to the finish line, rather than getting to the end of your life going, oops, oops, oh no, oh, I regret so much stuff. He wants us to demonstrate our love by keeping his commandments, and those commandments are the very things that will bring joy and delight to your life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what he was saying is, what we're to live by are the words that God spoke to us, the words that Jesus spoke to us. They're supposed to be the things that we begin to live by, to govern our life by, the principles that we take and that become very important in our lives, and what we live it by. We look back at them and we go, yes, how am I matching up to these words that will help me, not hurt me? There's not a command that God's given us that he said, hi, I did this so it would really hurt your life. I did it to just really tick you off, hurt you, and make you feel awful about me. Usually when we go against them is what that happens. We realize, oops, I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't good. That was bad. Oh my gosh, now I'm a mess. Now things aren't going well for me. To keep, the word keep here, if you love me, keep my commandments. That word love there is agape. Keep my commandments. That word means to guard. By keeping the eye upon. It's also translated obey. Tereo. Guard. Keep the eye upon. Obey. What he's saying, keep my commandments. It's because you keep your eyes on them. You're reading through those things that the Lord wants us to do that will cause our life to be wonderful. We're keeping our eye on them. We're guarding these. We're obeying these. It means that you have to be in a daily relationship walking with him. Why do we need to be in the Word every day or often? It's because we need to keep our eyes on them. Keep our eyes on them. Keep our eyes on them. Why do we have to keep our eyes on them? Because we have a tendency to forget things. We forget. Time goes by. Our minds get fuzzy. And we start forgetting instead of remembering. I'm keeping my eye on them. I'm keeping my eye on them. These are the words that I'm supposed to live my life by. These are the words that will make life good and not regrettable. These aren't arduous things that the Lord says, toe the line. There are things that God says, you know what? You want to have a good life? You want to have a protected life? You want me to provide for you? Hey, let me show you how that can happen. It's amazing. I got a great deal for you. I'll follow my commandments. And not just the Ten Commandments, but all the things that the Lord has spoken. The words that God speaks to you. The words that God speaks to you when you're walking down the road and he says something to you. And he asks you to share with someone or talk with someone or give it a flower to someone or to do something. Those are the things that God says, hey, will you walk on them? Will you obey them? Will you do them? When I think about love, and he's asking us, do you love me? I mean, you know, Fiddler on the Roof. That was a long time ago. That was seventh grade. We went and saw it as a class together. I don't remember the movie, but I remember I won't talk to you. Who was with? Do you love me? If you love me, if you love me, if you love me, guard them, value them, treasure them, esteem them. And we look at what Jesus did. He already showed us how much he loves us. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. He did it. He demonstrated to us his love. Jesus demonstrates his love for us. He didn't just say, I love you, in a Hallmark card or something on the internet. He didn't just say the word, I love you. Because sometimes words can be cheap, can't they? Sometimes words are easy. Now, they're important because every woman wants to hear by her husband, I love you. Isn't that right, honey? I want to hear from you, I love you. But they also want to see the actions behind the words. Jesus put him behind the words. Jesus put him behind the words by him going to the cross for us. Now let me tell you what. In our relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, here's what we don't have to worry about it with the Lord. This is not Jesus in heaven, okay? This is not what he's doing. Jesus is looking at the daisy here and he goes, I love Phil. I love him not. I love Phil. He did good today. I love him not, that beast. I love him. I love him not. You understand that God is not doing that in heaven over you. He is not, we don't have to wonder We don't have to wonder whether he loves us or not. I did bad, so therefore I'm on the bad list of he loves me not, because I know I didn't do well today. I messed up. That never happens. His love is always certain. It's always true. It's always there. It will always be there. He loves you, period. There is no he loves me not. He just goes, I love him. 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 That's all he says. All he has is how much he loves you. He's not talking about anything else. He's not trying to communicate to you. And I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Everyone is he loves you. Okay? His actions speak louder than his words. When he went to the cross, he died for us. Jesus also instructs us, if you want to show me your love, then act. Do something. Respond. Keep my commandments. His actions spoke louder than his words. And Jesus has asked us, hey, if you love me, can you let your actions speak louder than your words? Jesus' acts of love never wane, but do ours toward him. I started thinking about, since it's Mom's weekend, Moms, has this ever happened? If your mom's next to you there somewhere, say to them, Mom, I love you. But if your mom is there, just say, I love you. Joey's asleep. It was a long night. We put up a swing set last night, and I know that they were playing late. I love you. I love you. And your mom says, say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. I appreciate that. And then your mom says to you, can you please take out the garbage? And then you say, Mom, I love you. Love you, Mom. Love you. I just gushy love, Mom. Your mom says, can you please take out the garbage? Has it ever happened before? Mom, you know, you're like sweet tart love. I mean, it's just, oh, I love you. Important to me. And your mom says, can you please take out the garbage? If you love me, then show it by taking out the garbage. Show me your love by obeying my instruction. Show me your love. I know you told me. Show me you love me by simply honoring the request that I made. Do you understand that that's what Jesus is saying? I know you say you love me, and that's great. I want that to be there. I want us to have that love relationship. But show me. Show me that you love me by obeying my instructions. My instructions that will help you, not hurt you. My instructions that will cause you to get to the end of your life going, yee-haw, rather than, oh no. That's what he's asking. Here's my observation. True love is demonstrated in actions, not just in words. True love is demonstrated in actions, not just in words. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you love me, keep my commands. Don't just say it. Hey, follow them out. There's great stuff in there. There's great stuff in there. The commandments, they help us. Now remember this. For you fulfilling and doing what God wants you to do, it really doesn't greet, let me say it this way. It's not for him. You have to understand what God's asking you to do, all the things that he wants to, is really for you. The greatest benefit happens to you. So what he's doing is he's giving us commands and he's saying, listen, this will help you. All right? It's not like, oh, all of a sudden my life is going to be wonderful because you did something. Oh, wow. Hey, angels start singing, everybody going, guess what? Tommy did what I said. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, no, he's a good guy. I'm just saying that you understand that it's not for his, we think like, okay, if I do, all right, I'll do it because, you know, this will benefit God. He doesn't need you. He can use a donkey. He can use anything. He doesn't need us. He prefers us. He wants to have love, relationship with us. But you hear what I'm saying? It's not because he gets such great benefit out of it. We were talking in the staff meeting, one of the persons were saying, you know, I gave up cigarettes. I gave them to the Lord as an act of love for him. I wanted to change this in my life as an act of love. I wanted to let him know I love him. I wanted to demonstrate it. But you have to understand, this person quitting smoking did not add years to God's life, right? Well, you quit smoking? Oh, thank goodness, I can live for another 3 or 4 more years. It didn't help God for him to quit smoking. Now, it added years to that person's life. Do you understand that what he's asked us to do, yes, does he enjoy it and all that? Yeah, but the benefit is all ours. We keep thinking, well, he got all these things he wants us to do because we got to do these things for him so he feels good. It's all about us. He loves you. And he's saying, if you love me, and honestly, if you love yourself, do what I ask you to do. It'll be helpful. God is not gaining great benefit from you choosing to quit to sin. You, on the other hand, are gaining great benefit for your choice to quit sinning. And he says, hey, if you love me, because I so love you, and I know, hey, if you love me, and I care about you, if you would quit that, your life will go better. Honestly, he does it in reverse. He's doing that as an act of love for us. If you love me, he's really saying, I love you. Please keep these commandments, because if you do, it will go well with you. Your life will be better. It's amazing. Continuing on here. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you a helper. Another translation says, the comforter, the helper, that he may abide with you forever, forever. That's a long time. This forever, the Spirit of truth. He calls him the helper, the Spirit of truth. Now, understand this. God says, I want you to keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. All right? It'll be good for you. Oh, and guess what I'm going to do? I am going to give you a helper who will help you keep those commands. I am going to ask you to do something, then I'm going to give you all of the power to do it, and I'm going to give you a helper to be right in your hip pocket to walk with you to make sure that it happens. He doesn't just say, do it, turn your life around. He goes, hey, turn your life around, but hey, I've got all this help for you. Here, let me give it all to you. I got the Holy Spirit. I got the helper, the Spirit of truth. I'm going to give you this person. I'm going to allow this person to help you, to mentor you, to coach you along, to be your personal trainer. Big things today. And God knew it way before all the personal trainers came out. He says, I have one for you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Every morning he's there waiting for you. Hey, let's run. Hey, maybe we shouldn't eat that, do that, say that, be that. He's our personal trainer. So he tells us, keep his commandments, and then right after it he says, and here's all the help. Here's all the help to do it. I'm going to give you the trainer. I'm going to give you all the help. It's going to happen here. That word comforter or the helper is the paraclete, which means to come alongside to assist. The paraclete, to come alongside to assist. The Holy Spirit does not work instead of us or in spite of us, but in us and through us and alongside of us. He coaches us. He mentors us. He trains us. My observation, the Holy Spirit helps us keep God's commandments. How cool could that be? Got an idea for you to do that will only help you. And I'm going to give you all the help personalized to help you succeed. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. He goes on to say this, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world can't receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Can't see him. Doesn't know him. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. And when you start doing things and your friends who don't know the Lord, hey, why are you doing that? It seems like nonsense. It doesn't seem very smart. The way up is the way down. If you want to gain your life, lose it. There's so many things that he's spoken to us that don't make sense to a person who can't see or perceive the Spirit, who can't know him. It doesn't make sense. It seems illogical. Because if you only got one life to live, grab all the gust you can, get all that you can where the getting's good. Let me tell you what. You're always going to pay for what you grabbed onto. You will always pay for what you grab onto. You grab onto the cigarettes, at the end of your life, you're going to pay for them. My mom, you know, she smoked all of her life, got pancreatic cancer at the end. It was tough, you know, she was hooked on them. It was tough, a tough thing for her. She's a great lady, but my gosh, it was tough. I'm saying that all of a sudden you can't beat things. Think, I'm just going to beat it. I'm going to do all of that, but I'm not going to end up like one of those statistics. I'm going to end up beating it. Man, God says, hey, if you want to beat it, quit it. If you want to have a great life, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. But there's people it doesn't make sense to, and God's knocking on the door of their heart, but they don't let him in. He's a gentleman. He's not going to just come rushing into your life. He's going to come in by invitation. He says, but you know him. You know the Holy Spirit. He's talking to his disciples here and all of us. But you know him, for he dwells in you. That word dwells is meno. I love this word. It means to stay, sit, stay, stay, stay. The Holy Spirit stays with you. He doesn't come and leave. He doesn't come. Even when you're going through all the stuff you shouldn't be going through, he's sitting there going, oh, gee. Oh, boy. He doesn't leave. He doesn't go, oh, I can't look at that. I'm leaving. He's going, I don't think we should be here. There's the doors. I think we ought to get out of here. I don't know that, you know, I don't know about that guy. That's the Holy Spirit. If you ever, he doesn't leave you. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where you take him. But he'll always, do you think this is a good idea? I mean, really? Let's play this all the way out. Does it really look that good? That's our trainer. Tell us, man, you're breaking training. This isn't good. It's not going to be good for you. Your friends, your wife, you're this, you're that. It's going to raise havoc. He loves us. He stays with us. He says, but you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. Amazing. He'll be in you. The Spirit of God dwelt with the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ, and now he was going to be in the disciples when Jesus left by the Spirit of the third person. The person of Jesus, they were with him. He left. The person of the Holy Spirit stays and lives. He's in us. Do you know that there's not one religion that I'm aware of in the world where the God comes and resides inside of the person? The God or the person or the entity says, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, has all the list of do's and don'ts. But we have a God who lives inside of us. A God who wants to help us, not from the outside, hey, conform, conform, but on the inside, I got your heart. Hey, let me show you what it looks like from the inside. Let me start with it from heartfelt first. Not from actions, not do's and don'ts. Let me show you from the inside. Let me get your heart right. Can you imagine? If you got the right heart, you see everything differently. And he always works from here. Hey, if we give him a chance, if we listen, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I've always thought, you know, sometimes, wow, what it would have been like to walk with Jesus, you know, like the disciples did and all of that. We get to walk with him. We get to walk with him today. I bet they were going, I wonder what it would be like to walk with Jesus way back then, in the future. We get to do that part. He's here. He's with us. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I'll not leave you orphans, fatherless, abandoned, helpless, hopeless. I'm here for you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. He was talking about, I'm going to die. The world will never see me again. The world will only see me as when Nicodemus takes me down from the cross and puts me in a tomb. That's the last the world will see of me until I come again in the very end of time in order to judge the world. But the disciples, he says this, A little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to walk around amongst you for 40 days. And then I'm going to ascend to heaven and send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you all the time. No more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. When we were walking once side by side this way, and as we continue on now, I'm going to walk with you in here. That's where we get to enjoy this walking of the Holy Spirit inside of our heart. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Jesus restates his main point this second time. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Two parts to it. To know his commandments, he who knows my commandments, has my commandments and knows them. The second part is what? Keep them. Know them. Keep them. Know them. Keep them. If you love me, prove it, is what he's saying. If you love me, now that's what we say. Here's what he says. It's a nicer one. Turn it to the next one there. If you love me, prove it. The world shouts at you, prove it, but God just kind of loves you and asks you to prove it. There are lots of people who know God's commandments, but few who really want to keep them. I've known a lot of commandments and I've broken a lot of them in my lifetime. I want to be the person who doesn't just know them, but I want to keep them. Why? Because I love him. Why? Because it's the best thing for me. Why? Because I want to have a good life and not have regrets or great regrets at the end of my life. It's funny, here we are with the daisy. He always just says, I love you, I love you, I love you. He may say this. He obeys me. He obeys me not. He obeys me. He obeys me not. I want to be the person who obeys me, obeys me, obeys me, obeys me. His love is always there for us. But sometimes my obedience is not. Jesus is not fickle with his love, but I sometimes feel fickle with my obedience. It's a good day. Everything's going great. Can't tell you, I was talking to the IRS a couple of days ago on the phone. How many people love that? Well, I'm not going to say that. So I'm talking to the IRS. They have to simply tell them, you know what? You gave me two letters about an address change. I was worried about fraud, so I said, hey, I didn't make those changes. For my personal business, Carrie's shop, and for Foss Painting, which I do the books for. I said, hey, and she goes, okay, well, what's the deal? And I go, you sent me these letters. I think you screwed up. And then blah, 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 going through the whole thing. So she made the changes back to the right address. And I go, and this one over here too? And she goes, who are you?
I am Phil. Who are you?
I am agent 4994777666222199994. I said, could you say that again? I didn't get all those numbers. No, I didn't say that. So we're going through, and I said, hey, listen, I just want to let you know that this is the wrong address, too, and here's the right one. She goes, I'm sorry, I can't hear that if you're not the approved on the thing. And I go, well, I think I am approved. I'm the bookkeeper and blah, blah, blah. I think we talked before. And he goes, no, I don't see you on the thing. And I go, well, it's on the thing, and I just want to tell you this, all right? I don't want to have to, it took me 50 minutes to get you here, so I'm just going to let you know. Here it is. Do what you want with it. And she goes, sir, I'm sorry. I can't do that. Don't give me more information. I don't want any more information. I go, and I said some things I shouldn't have said. I said, I just think this is Mickey Mouse. And I'm sure she loved that comment. I'm just being honest here, okay? I felt bad afterwards. I said, I just think it's Mickey Mouse, and I'm just telling you this stuff. You guys make it so hard. I'm just trying to give you something here. Sir. Then she said this. Sir, I'm going to hang up on you. And then my thought, I thought you worked for me. But apparently not. I thought I paid your salary, but apparently not. And so, and this is really awful, and I'm just confessing here. Before she could hang up on me, I hung up on her. And I have to say that right after that, a rush of great joy happened in my soul. Replaced immediately by, and you're the pastor of this church, right? And I'm realizing I don't know if I can get back to agent 247-999-4441 and apologize, but you know, she was just doing her job. She can't do it. I mean, that's where it is. It made me frustrated, but it's what it is. So Joe, you call him and talk to agent 4997. I'm just saying, you know how it happens so fast? You're sitting there thinking, hey, if you love me, I don't think Jesus would go, hey, as he's doing his taxes. He would have just gone and got a fish and paid stuff. I mean, that would be cool if I could do that. You know, he was always cool about stuff. You know, hey, we need taxes. All right, grab a fish, give him the money. It just, you know, I wonder what he would have done here. He would have just, you know, I don't know. He would have done some miraculous thing. No, he probably would have just said, hey, I'm sorry, I will get my boss, and he will talk to you at another time, even though it's very, 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 very inconvenient for me. I'm going to do what you're asking. You know, and it's like that sometimes, isn't it? And you just go, God, I just want to do your will. I want to fulfill your plan. I want to obey you in the times when I don't feel like it. When everything inside of me just wants to... He says again, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And this is amazing. The word manifest here, infinezo, it means to exhibit, to disclose, to reveal. It comes from a word, phos. Phos painting comes from this, and it means to shine or to illuminate. He says that, you know what? If you keep my commandments, I'm going to illuminate myself to you. I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to show you my principles, my ways, my thoughts, my feelings, the way I think, the way I look at things, the way the decisions that I make, how I would respond on that phone. I'm going to start revealing these things to you if you will keep my commandments. It's a powerful thing here that's going on. He'll manifest himself. He'll make himself known to us more and more and more and more. And all of a sudden, you look at, you know, some people who got a deep relationship with the Lord, and they do things you kind of scratch your head about, but because they're so deep in relation with him and they hear his voice so much, they just kind of walk with him at a different level. He's saying, I want us all to walk there. The more that you obey my commandments, the more I'm going to speak to you, the more I'm going to reveal myself to you, the more your eyes are going to open up, the more you're going to be able to see. We put together a swing set last night in the dark. We lost washers and stuff. We're looking everywhere with a flashlight. We couldn't find. It was so hard to put it together in the dark, but the kids wanted it done. Hurry up. But when the light comes on, it's easier to do things. God wants to give us his light, manifest himself, his understanding, the reasoning. Where now you go, I don't know why. I'm just obeying. I don't know why. I'm just obeying. I don't know why. I'm just obeying. But the more I reveal to you, the more you go, oh, I'm understanding why now. More is being revealed to me. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you will know of Jesus. And let me give you this diagram. The more you obey, it demonstrates the more you love Jesus. And the more you love Jesus results in the more that's revealed to you about Jesus. And the more that's revealed to you about Jesus causes you and inspires you to want to obey him more. And the more you obey him, the more you love him, the more that's revealed to you, the more you want to obey him, the more you love him. You understand, it becomes a whirlwind. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, you get into this loop, it will change your life. Because you will know me more and more. Warren Wiersbe said this, salvation means we are going to heaven, but submission, obedience, means that heaven is coming to us. He ends it one more time here. I'm just going to skip through it. Judas asks another question. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Why? Because the world doesn't want to see. The world doesn't care. You do, and the more I reveal myself to you, the more you want to see. Jesus answered him and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He reiterates the point the third time here. He reiterates the point, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and we will come into him and make our home with him. We're going to come inside. He who does not love me does not keep my words. He says it backwards, but the fourth time, he's reiterating this point. If you love me, keep, and it will change your life. Let's close. Jesus, we're so thankful of your words. We're so thankful for what you say. We ask you, Lord, to help us. Help us to obey. And in the obedience, it just energizes our love. And in that love, you just reveal more to us. And Lord, we fail so many ways. I do, Lord. I mess up. But God, I want to walk with no regrets. I want to love you the way you want to be loved. By doing that, it's by obeying what you're saying to me. And in the process, my life, it goes better. It goes wonderful. It's awesome. When I get to the end, I have no regrets. But an appreciation for a Savior who gave his life to me, who died for me, who loved me, and then began to reveal his life to me and hopefully through me. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus, to fulfill your words to us, that you might know that we do love you. Why? Because we're obeying the great things that you asked us to do. Thank you, Lord. Help us now. In Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. They'll pray for you that receive the Lord. He'll do great things in your life. He'll change you. If you need prayer for something, come on up here. They'll pray for you. If you need a moment to just reflect, go out of here thinking about, hey, how am I going to allow this message to change my life? To obey him more. And as you do, ask him, Jesus, reveal more of who you are to me. Moms, we love you. Have a great visit with your kids. Thank you for letting them come here. I pray God's abundant blessings upon all of you. Next week, we'll get another phrase on the amazing things that Jesus says to us. God bless you. You're dismissed.